If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 6th, 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host, Greg. Very happy to be doing the show with you not once, but twice this week. It feels like a little treat, a little Games Daily treat.
Yeah, I know. And you see, everything got, you know, flipped around. Things were happening out there. I wasn't sure if it was going to happen. It happened. It's here. Two in the chamber. You and me. Two in the hole. Ready to go. You know, ready. So how has it been? How has my performance been now that I've been back? All right. It's almost been a first full week of me back for paternity leave. 3 months on ice. How have I been doing? Give me my employee review right now.
I like to judge Greg Miller's performance based on how much my hand is touching my face, how much face palming is actually going on. Was that a treat just for us, Kev, or did the audience get the luxury of being able to see
too.
That
the audience got it too. I don't know why it was so big.
Well, you're welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas a couple weeks late. Little Christmas is what they call it. But no, Greg, you've been absolutely killing it. My stomach has been hurting from laughing from having us all together. I feel like you are the glue that kind of makes everything louder. You know what I mean? Kevin Coelho is the glue that keeps it together. But you're the glue that kind of like makes all of us like perform at our max.
He's the spice. You're eating potatoes and we're just, they don't got no flavors. Suddenly you put a bag of spice in there and it's like, whoa.
That's the thing that we don't talk enough about, right? Is that if you eat a potato and you like a potato, someone went out of their way to make that potato good. Because if you get a bland potato, there's nothing worse. And that's that is the gamble, Tim. I feel like I take every breakfast burrito from a place where some breakfast burritos, I eat these and I'm like, this is some of the best food I've ever had in my life. Other ones I eat, and I'm like, you shove so many bland ass potatoes in here, they're dragging down the overall taste.
Go for it, Kev.
I was going to say, they thought they were going to get us with the size. We were going to get this burrito and be like, oh, look how big. It's 90% potatoes and you didn't season it, you asshole.
Right? And that's the thing. Guess what? We're not in the middle of some kind of economic crisis, all right? I don't need to get the bang for my buck out of potatoes. This isn't the one meal I need all day long, all right? Don't try to do that to me. Don't do that. Make it spicy. Put something in there to make it taste good.
We might be in the middle of an economic crisis, just to let you know.
Oh, shit. What should I do with the stocks and bonds?
Hold them.
Hold them? Okay.
I've never had a good breakfast burrito. Nah, I've never had a great breakfast burrito. Okay. I've had ones that were like good. But my problem is,
did you ever have across the street? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just what you're saying with the potatoes. Like that is the issue. And like just the level of dry to wet, all of that always seems off. I have found breakfast tacos fantastic.
Sure.
Like, I've rarely had a bad breakfast taco. Like those are
the only time breakfast tacos get bad, I feel like, is when they sit too long in their own heat and then they get moist.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they're way too wet. Don't like that one.
But otherwise, those things are 10 out of 10. But I hope that one day in my travels, I find a fantastic breakfast burrito.
Did you ever have the breakfast burrito across the street from IGN at Ironside?
Ooh,
I did.
That didn't smack for you with the chorizo and the avocado?
It was fine. It wasn't bad. It was just like, you said it's one of the best foods you've ever had. And I want to have that experience because I imagine, I love breakfast food. I love burritos. You put them together. It's just like, curry up now. We always talk about the Indian burritos. I love chicken tikka masala. I love burritos. You put those together.
Sure.
Anyways,
Ironside burrito, man. I must have gained 30 pounds off it. You know what I mean? You were talking about being unhinged. I was addicted. I couldn't stop. You know what I mean? And I remember feeling bad for Audrey Drake because she sat across the barrier from me. I would just be inhaling this fucking disgusting burrito. The way I ate it was disgusting. At like 8:39 in the morning. Well, I guess probably more like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. But like she had to sit there and do her work talking about whatever fucking dumbass Nintendo game she was trying to convince everybody mattered. But I'm just
Fire Emblem Awakening.
What about La Bomba from
Underdogs?
Underdogs. Oh my God! One of the it had instead of potatoes, they used tater tots. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And
I do remember
giant
that, yeah.
chunks of sausage.
But even then, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I said when they took that off the daily schedule and made that a Sunday only thing, I almost cried.
Sure. Yeah. The problem is Underdog is another with the potato back. We've come full circle to end it. Is that Underdog's a great burrito spot here in San Francisco? But yeah. Who's running the fryer? Who's running the fryer? Because I had had La Bamba's that were the tater tots weren't crispy enough, and I was like, oh. And then it would go into the afternoon too. You get the California burrito with the French fries in it. I'd also have mushy French fries, or there's burritos that I had out of body experience with at Underdogs where the fries were so crispy it was perfect. Yeah. I'm watering right now thinking about it. I'm sorry.
They don't even know who's running the fryer. Place burned down. It's a bad joke, but it's real.
You know what? One of them burned down. The other closed up. Now they got a new one over on 9th. Everything's great. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? They took over the other. No Nopalita spot.
The burned down one's reopened, though.
Oh, it did reopen. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's great. Okay, good for them. Yeah. Good for them. Mm-hmm. You know what else is good for you, ladies and gentlemen? Because you got a lot of video game news to hear about. We're going to talk about Ghost of Tsushima versus Days Gone and why 8 million doesn't mean 8 million. We're going to talk about the fact that there is a new Horizon Forbidden West trailer. We're going to watch it with you. And then I got some rumor mill things to talk about. We're going to get into all of this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, like this show. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can subscribe on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get your name read on the show, to get your questions read on the show, to get the show ad-free, to get the show with the exclusive post-show we do each and every weekday. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You, of course, could support us over on the Epic Game Store by using the creator code kindoffunny. You could use it on Fortnite, on whatever platform you're playing on, Rocket League, whatever your platform you're playing on. You don't have to give us money directly, but that would then help us get money. However, you could also watch this show on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listen on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. As we have said throughout the week, we are turning 7 years old. Kinda Funny is 7 years old. However, we're not doing a huge mega celebration announcing all the new shows and doing all the crazy stuff yet. We are waiting till we move into our brand new studio for that later this year. However, tomorrow you can come celebrate 7 years with all of us on January 7th. That's right, Friday after Kinda Funny Games Daily, we will be doing an extra long supersized stream on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames where we play Mario Party. We eat pizza. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Blessing sick. I don't know if he'll show up to play anything. Andy keeps accusing me and saying he's better than me at Everybody's Golf, but has he actually made it happen? Has he actually put it on the schedule? No. And you try to call him now and he's on an airplane, so you can't talk to him. So we'll see. Anyways, that's all happening tomorrow. Twitch.tv. Kind of Funny Games. You can get you later, of course, on our archive channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. If that wasn't good enough for you to celebrate 7 years of Kind of Funny, there's brand new merch up on kindoffunny.com/store. You can get our new line of clothing. Of course, each and every month this year, we're going to have a new line of clothing. This one features a brand new, awesome crew neck sweatshirt that I want so bad. And I saw it get delivered to Tim's house when we were over there talking to him. And I didn't take it from him in that moment. And now I'm going to have to wait 13 years to get it.
Yeah. You can always come here and take the boxes off my hands, Greg.
I probably will. This weekend, I probably will. I probably will drive over there, you know, bring the whole family down there, get Benjamin down there. There's a crop top, too. There's a crop top hoodie. You bet your ass I'll be rocking that from here on out. When I work out, I'll be all over it. Don't worry about that one bit.
God, when you work out, I hate that.
That would be so
scary. I'll
Jen
make a video. Me huffing
That'd
and puffing
so
on the Peloton.
That'd be so scary.
Sanity.
You in a gym just...
Oh,
me and
the, you know, I'm not going to wear it to the gym. Come
Nips
on now.
Nips down.
You know, all that stuff. Nips down.
Damn. Well, I mean,
they would definitely hang low, yeah, beneath the crop top of it. And if that isn't enough Kind of Funny talk for you, there's a brand new Kind of Funny podcast up right now. It's my return to the show, and Nick is crazy on it. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Pranksky. Today, we are brought to you by Upstart, Raycon, and ExpressVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got five items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's dozen.
Whoa, Kevin. Yes, I love the energy. Number one on the rope report. Let's go back in time to yesterday when the one, the only, the roller skating marathon training game plan, Janet Garcia, told you about Ghost of Tsushima hitting 8 million sales. Of course, PlayStation mentioned this during their Sony press conference at CES, that Ghost of Tsushima had crossed the 8 million sold mark. That, of course, was a news story we talked about. That was a Twitter post a million people put up. And that very Twitter post about the 8 million sales got quote tweeted by the one, the only, Jeff Ross, who you might remember formerly of Sony Bend. He was the Days Gone game director. He quote tweeted it, wrote this, and a million tweets were fired to get Days Gone trending once again on Twitter. Jeff wrote, "At the time I left Sony, Days Gone had been out for a year and a half and a month and sold over 8 million copies. It's since gone on to sell more and then a million plus on Steam. Local studio management always made us feel like it was a big disappointment." And again, he's quote tweeting the fact that, hey, here it is, we're saying, or Ghost of Tsushima sold 8 million and it's a huge success. It's getting mentioned on a CES stage. Then he's saying, of course, Days Gone sold 8 million and it was made to feel a disappointment, a failure. This, of course, activated the Days Gone army. If you haven't been paying attention, of course. Huh?
The Horde.
Tim? Here's my problem with not being in the room with you, is that you don't get enough credit for the puns, the quick turns of phrases. And the problem, of course, is that when we're doing a show and the way Discord works, I hear you say something, but I can't make it out. Or if you were next to me, right? If you were right here saying Horde, I would understand exactly what you're saying. But there, so I can't wait to get to the new studio just to help to do the, you got him. It activated
that.
The Days Gone Horde. All right, the Days Gone Horde that was then in the comments of, oh my God, this is outrageous. This is a game we all love. You know, critics had it wrong. I can't believe that it sold 8 million copies. And of course, as we know, in quotes, right, we have heard through reports and stuff like that, that Sony Bend is not doing a Days Gone 2. They have moved on to a new IP. Of course, Jeff Ross here and John Garvin have already left Sony Bend. They were the higher ups in charge of the project. Eric Jensen's still there, one of the higher ups on the project. It's basically kicked up all this dust though, right? Ghost of Tsushima's moment of 8 million sold, this is huge, has now become this thing of like, what the fuck, Days Gone? And all the Days Gone people are mad. Tim, you saw this yesterday, I assume, because you exist in the world, in the video game world. What was your initial knee-jerk reaction to it?
It was a surprise, I would say. Like, just surprised that he's coming out here, like, with this energy, you know? Because, like, putting this out there on Twitter.com, it's going to be, like, you know, you see a lot of talk about the main character of Twitter of the day.
Sure.
You want to be the main character of Twitter. And all of a sudden, Jeff became the main character of yesterday's discourse, right? But really, what that means is Days Gone became the main character and became the main discussion point. In terms of what you were talking about of it taking away from Ghost, I don't think it really does. Like, Ghost, no one's going to be like, oh, man, it sold 8, but so did Days Gone. Is it really that big of a success? It doesn't work that way. It only works that way. To bolster Ghost, right? And to make that seem like a success that everybody kind of can rally behind and love. Sucker Punch kind of making it a new IP and doing the Sony thing of knocking it out of the park, it getting really good Metacritic scores, it selling well for a new IP, all that. On the other side, you have Days Gone. And I feel like what surprises me is the 8 million sold. That's a big number, right? I think that when it comes to exclusive IP on the main three, the big three hardware, the sales numbers are almost expected to be a little bit higher, right? Because it's like these are the big targeted, big marketed, pushed games. And you look at it on the Nintendo side with the Switch, and it's just like every single time a Nintendo IP comes out on the Switch, it's kind of expected to sell more than it's ever sold before on any other system, with rare exception. But we've kind of just seen that happen over and over and over. Even things like Luigi's Mansion, right? Where Luigi's Mansion 3, it's almost at 10 million at this point, great, I think. Game. Like, fantastic game. But even I saw Imran was tweeting a couple days ago about Hyrule Warriors on the Switch and how it sold like a couple million copies, which was like a surprise for that type of game. But there's just this like level of sales that just naturally kind of occurs, and if it doesn't, then it's like a major flop. With Days Gone, 8 million is still getting into an upper echelon of PlayStation exclusive titles. PlayStation exclusive titles sell well, but it's rare that you get the God of Wars or the Spider-Mans or Horizon. However, that rarity is getting a little less rare over the years when more and more titles keep getting added to this echelon, this tier of what the sales potential of an exclusive can be, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that, obviously, sales aren't everything. Quality of a game, perception of a game. There's so much that goes into this to what makes a success, quote unquote. So right. This quote here of local studio management always made us feel like it was a big disappointment. What's interesting is what was disappointing about it.
Well, here's the thing I want to go off of, right, is that I agree with everything you just said, and I think there's a deeper thing. And yesterday, I mean, and I understand you talk about Jeff being the main character, and also you started with, like, it's a weird take to do, right, to kind of air your dirty laundry in public kind of thing. I get it in terms of, like, it seems like a shot against Sucker Punch from Jeff. And for the full disclosure, I've talked to Jeff multiple times throughout the years. I've covered PlayStation, Sony, Ben stuff. He's always been a good guy to me. I don't think he was doing this as an affront in any way to Ghost of Tsushima or anything like that.
I don't think so either.
I think his point, though, is trying to defend the fact that he made this game that he's proud of, right? And there's this double standard in terms of what Ghost did, and then, of course, what Days Gone did, and 8 million not being 8 million. However, I think there's way more to this, and I'm not at all attacking Jeff's point of view here. I just want to expand on it, because I saw so many reductive takes last night on Twitter from Days Gone fans who were like, we were robbed, this is bullshit, what the fuck, to then just quote tweet jokes about it of just like, blah, 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 but missing the point here of what we always talk about. And so I'm Greg Miller. I've covered video games for 15 years. I have never made a video game. I have never sold a video game. I've never marketed a video game. I don't know 100% what I'm talking about, but I think I do based on conversations I've had with people, and at least to give perspective to it in a way 280 characters can't do, right? So I think what's important is you have to look at this. And I think I'm saying this is a reductive take to just immediately dunk on it, to turn around and do this. I'm going to start my conversation about why I think there's nothing to be outraged about here, and why it makes sense that to Sony, to PlayStation, Days Gone is a disappointment, but Ghost of Tsushima is a success. I will start with my own reductive thing to give you the framework I'm going to work with here. This is not what I'm saying, apples to apples, but framework, right? If today's Kind of Funny podcast went up, and on youtube.com/kindoffunny, it got 30,000 views, we would go, oh shit, that's a breakout episode. That's really successful for us. If the Rooster Teeth podcast went up on YouTube for Rooster Teeth and got 30,000 views in its first day, they would say, something's wrong with that video. Take it down and re-upload it. It didn't get nearly what it should do in terms of numbers. This is not, I'm being reductive, as I already said. That's not the actual point, right? I went to Wikipedia this morning. As of 2019, Wikipedia says, Sony Ben, Days Gone developer, has 130 employees. Ghost of Tsushima, Sucker Punch, they have 160 employees in 2020, right? But stick with me on where I'm going with this. Now, imagine you are PlayStation. Now you'd be Herman Hulse. Back then you'd be Sean Layden, maybe Shuhei Yoshida, depending on where we're at with Worldwide Studios, right? Sony Ben comes in. They say, again, Days Gone came out in 2019, April 2019. According to Wikipedia, it went into development in 2013-ish, full production in 2015. But for argument's sake, to get greenlit, right? 2013, Sony Ben walks in. They pitch you, hey, we want to make Days Gone. It's going to be Sons of Anarchy meets The Walking Dead meets an open world, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? New York Times, October 2013, Walking Dead premieres the highest rated show of TV season. Sons of Anarchy, 2013, had its highest average viewership. The finale in 2013 and 2014 were the highest, and then the highest in terms of viewership. And in 2013, The Last of Us comes out. Zombies. I know we're all over it now and it's a normal thing, but at the fucking moment, zombies were huge, right? So, hey, we've seen people saying they want a Sons of Anarchy game. We know people love zombies. We are going to combine those into a triple A multi-million dollar project. We're putting Sam Witwer, who people know from TV, Star Wars, you name it, an actual actor. We're putting him in the role. We're doing this. This is what it's going to be. And I think you go, oh my God, yeah, let's make that game. That sounds like it's going to be fucking huge, right? Then you go to lunch with Shuhei. You come back. Sucker Punch walks in, right? And they're like, hey, we just came off of Infamous Second Son and First Light. Beautiful games. You know, maybe not the most impressive, but this is up on Infamous 2. We've made 5 superhero games. I'm including Festival of Blood and I'm including First Light. We've made 5 superhero games. MCU is heating up. Superheroes are about to be the biggest fucking thing behind zombies, maybe right over it. We'd like to make a game about being a samurai in feudal Japan. And we're going to cast it with all Japanese Asian actors. We're going to be super authentic. We're going to do this whole thing. And Sony goes, all right, cool. That sounds like a fun art house, cool AAA video game. But like, That's an uphill battle to make that popular. I think right there is what the crux of this issue comes down to, is that we always talk about on this show, oh, this game did X amount, or I really wonder if they think that's success. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Is that game a success to them? I come out and tell you that I, just as an outsider, think the expectation for Days Gone, sales expectation, would have been dramatically higher than what you would have had for Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima is an uphill battle to make people, is this going to be a thing? Do people want this? Blah, blah, blah. People say they want an Assassin's Creed Japan, but Assassin's Creed is a proven entity. That's a proven IP. You're coming out and doing this. Days Gone, we're PlayStation. We gave you The Last of Us. You love The Walking Dead. Sons of Anarchy is cool. There's so many popular in-the-moment touchstones. And I'm not saying samurais aren't popular. Japan isn't popular. But it's a different audience and a different thing going on. And so I think that's why you'd get to the point that Jeff Ross is there and hearing that Days Gone has sold 8 million units. And people are like, oh, that's great, but it's not as good as it could have been. Let alone the fact, and this is a harder one for me to nail down. Please, kindoffunny.com/wrong if you can get better stats than I could. Again, Days Gone comes out April 26, 2019, right? Then in May 2019, they announced that like the next week in June, Days Gone was going to be part of the Days of Play sale and go from $60 to $40. And as far as I can tell, that's the first time the price dropped for Days Gone. And granted, that was only for like, I think it was 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. Not by any stretch of the imagination, like it went to $40 forever. But Days Gone has been on sale a bunch of times since then. And I would say, and I, again, maybe I'm talking out of turn, but I'm pretty sure lower than $40. And that might be a PlayStation Plus discount or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm also coming out and telling you that I think the Days Gone fan base, who has rallied against the critics and been like, they got it wrong, this was a great game, I thoroughly enjoyed myself, yada, 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 are making people continue to buy this game, but they're buying it when it's on a sale. And they're going like, oh, well, for $40 here, for what I imagine, I want to say would have been $20 at some point, right here, DJ Brad Chill says, I grabbed it at $15 for some point. They're buying this game, yes, and enjoying it probably because their expectations are so low. You are on the internet. You are listening to a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You understand that there is A and there is B. There is good and there is bad. There is no room on the internet for the discourse in between there. We make a Days Gone review. It goes on for an hour and a half or whatever it was of me talking about the things I enjoyed but didn't enjoy about the game. That shit gets thrown out. All you remember is that Greg Miller didn't like this game, which is another reductive view of my own review, right? There is a thing going on here that means the 8 million, and again, that this is me, Greg Miller, just industry pundit. The 8 million that Days Gone sold, I don't think is equal to the 8 million that Ghost sold. And even to drive this point home further, right? John Garvin, again, head of Sony Ben, you know, one of the faces of Days Gone, who has since left, right? He went on David Jaffe's YouTube show. I didn't write down the date, but it's been in the last year, last calendar year or whatever, right? And this is the thing he said there, right? And I'm putting quotes together. There's probably in between there. I do have an opinion on something that your audience may find of interest, and it might piss some of them off. If you love a game, buy it at fucking full price. I can't tell you how many times I've seen gamers say, yeah, I got that on sale. I got it through PlayStation Plus, whatever. I'm just saying you don't have to buy something you don't like, but don't complain if a game doesn't get a sequel if it wasn't supported at launch. It's like God of War got whatever millions of sales at launch and, you know, Days Gone didn't. I'm just speaking for me personally as a developer. I don't work for Sony. I don't know what the numbers are. Right there, John's talking, obviously, last year after he'd already left Sony. He's talking about Days Gone at launch. This is what they're talking about. I would say, back to the very original point here from Jeff, who at local studio management always made it feel like it was a big disappointment. I'm saying that their disappointment was that this game was supposed to be huge, and this game was not huge. Well, I don't know what their internal what Sony's internal projections were in terms of we're getting behind this, we're doing this, we're going for this. He says local studio management, making me think it's people who are there managing Sony Bend. If I'm Sony Bend, right? And again, I'm Greg Miller. I've covered PlayStation my entire time. I think Uncharted Golden Abyss is a really fun game. I think Resistance Retribution was my favorite Resistance in the series, right? I like Sony Bend a lot. Those game, you're look, seven Days Gone comes out 7 years after Uncharted Fight for Fortune. Did you play Uncharted Fight for Fortune on your Vita? Did you love it? Do you ever hear anyone talk about that? It was 8 years after Uncharted Golden Abyss. A game, again, I liked on the Vita, but you don't hear talked about it ever from PlayStation. And then before that, it was Resistance Retribution on PSP in 09, Logan Shadow in 07. Again, local studio management made us feel like $8 million was a big disappointment. We are making a game with some of the biggest property parts in the world. We have been in Naughty Dog Shadow. We have been in Insomniac Shadow. We have been making PSP games that were fucking great. Logan Shadow is a great fucking game. I enjoyed it so much. But that was a PSP game. Did you play it? Like, Sony Bend, local studio management, PlayStation must have looked at Days Gone and been like, this is going to be, and it wouldn't have been at the time, but now you know what this means, their Horizon, their Spider-Man, their game that is going to break the mold and say, oh, their Ghost. Shit. Their Ghost that's going to break the mold and say, oh, my God, Sony Bend is a real player. Sony Bend is on the Naughty Dog level. Sony Bend is et cetera, et cetera. And that didn't happen. And so I don't, this is a long way, and this is why this conversation wouldn't happen on Twitter. This is why podcasts exist. I saw all these takes last night, and I was like, man, this is reductive. There's so much more going on. But for me, that's why 8 million doesn't equal 8 million. Why Ghost's success is Days Gone's disappointment.
Well, the thing is, like, not only is like Twitter, you know, limited to the characters, but even then, even on a podcast and stuff, you can still take things in or out of context, and it is still at the end of the day someone's perspective. I mean, even you taking the quote of him on the podcast talking about you have to buy games at fucking full price, it's like, it's so easy for us to take that and talk shit about it and like talk about all the implications that train of thought has.
Sure.
He's just talking about his perspective as a director director, right, of Days Gone, of this game that he obviously cares about, and he's the one that has to deal with people tweeting at him day in and day out about where's the sequel, why isn't there a sequel, all that stuff. Like, everyone has their own shit that they're dealing with, that they're trying to go through, and I just think that you, when you are going through shit, you got to be careful about what you say, because if you put your foot in your mouth, it's not the old days of just, oh man, a couple people around you are going to be like, that's a weird take. It's going to be people on news shows breaking down every single word you said and following up and bringing it back in context years later against the new thing you're saying. I just think we're in a interesting place. Obviously, Sony Bend, and at least the dudes that left, are hurt by this. They believed in this game. They believed this was going to be their Horizon. And looking at the sales numbers and all this, they think that they got robbed of the respect that they feel like they deserved. Do they deserve that respect? That's not for me to answer. I don't know. They feel like they should have got it, right? But I do think it's important to note that, like you said, Greg, 8 million is not equal to 8 million necessarily when we're talking about success. Success isn't just sales. Success is Game Award nominations, which Days Gone. Did it get any? I know the Ghost did. I know the Ghost won some things. So it's like, those are the type of things where it's like, so many elements add up to mean more than just a sale.
Of course. Exactly. And, you know, and again, to your something you said there, like, I get it. And again, you know, we're talking about John's comments on Jaffe's podcast and then Jeff's comments here on Twitter. Like, I fully get them leaving PlayStation and then still having this audience come. And for John's quote of like, buy it at fucking full price, like, that comes from a place of hurt that I understand. I understand that he's left PlayStation, or even when he was still there, but people are tweeting and being like, man, this Days Gone is actually really good. And he's like, why the fuck didn't you believe us when we told you? Know what I mean? Like, there's this conversation of like, you've missed the boat and you can't help us now. I get that. I get the pain they have over this. And, you know, like, any video game you ever get is a miracle. It's a miracle that thing came together to get. So to work on this for, I had it in my notes up here, how many years? Wikipedia says 6 years of development on Days Gone, right? To work on it for 6 years. And again, to pitch it in 2013 and The Walking Dead is the highest rated show on TV, and you're like, we are gonna fucking go. And then as you work on this game, you see Walking Dead start to fall, right? You see the zombies not go away, but shamble away, not go away, but their potency, their, you know, importance in pop culture start to fade a bit. And it's like, fuck, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always that, did you miss the boat? Yeah, try to catch these, trends.
You say that and like, that's all true, but there's just so much even more context within the context of, okay, you're going to launch this game as a Sony title. So now you're not just competing with zombie things in general. You're competing with another first-party Sony title that is a proven entity with The Last of Us. They started working on it back in 2013 or whatever that was. Last of Us 1 comes out, one of the greatest video games of all time. Great sales, great critic reception, great award winner. Great positive talk from the community. It's like, it had it all. It now has an HBO show coming, right? Yep. Like, the opposite way of getting turning a show's popularity into a game. This is a game's popularity into a show. And then Last of Us 2 comes out, right around Days Gone, there was like a almost one-to-one type of comparison of just extra elements on top of it. And is that fair? I don't know. But it's reality, and that's how it happened. And 100%. Sony doesn't have 20 different studios working on this tier, this caliber of video game. There's only, what, six? And I think that this was Ben's chance to, like, be the seventh.
We'll see. You know, I can't wait. They are working on a new IP. That's what's been reported, kicked around and stuff. Like, I am, I think Sony Ben makes great games. I think Days Gone was a miss for me personally. I think there's a bunch of stuff I would do differently. But I also, that was one of the reasons personally I was hoping there'd be a Days Gone 2. It's kind of like The Order, where it's like, yes, okay, cool. It didn't work, but it could. Like, go and change these things, do that. So all the learnings they've had from Days Gone, I hope they go and apply to whatever it is next and go. Because again, Resistance Retribution, Uncharted Golden Abyss, all the Siphon Filter games, like, they're a talented studio. I want them to have that breakout success. I want them to have that moment. And I want it to be not that, I want them to have this huge fan base. It's like, oh my God, that's great. And not the fan base they have now that has a chip on their shoulder, that they feel they were robbed of a sequel, that they were robbed of the limelight for that game that they love in Days Gone. So interesting stuff, to be sure. Tim, you can find all sorts of interesting stuff on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You could go there. You could write in and be part of the show. You could be a Patreon producer. You, of course, get the post show we do each and every weekday. But most importantly for right now, you could go there to get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, Greg Way, let's have a word from our sponsors.
Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station. You're probably fine, but it could be a disaster. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, you're basically giving someone else the keys to your personal data, like your passwords, your financial details, the passwords to your financial life. And it doesn't even take much technical knowledge for someone to hack you. But ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your data and the world that'd take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past. Plus, it's super easy to use. You just open the app and press a single button. I've been using it, kind of funny, he's been using it. It's keeping our internet safe. And I love that. I love it so much. I love how easy it is to use. And I love that I just don't even need to worry about it. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And you can get an extra 3 months for free by going to expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Funny. What would it feel like if we were finally free of high interest loans or credit card debt? Well, Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether you're looking to pay off credit cards, consolidate high interest debt, or fund some personal expenses, Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Rather than looking only at your credit score, Upstart considers other factors like your income, current employment, and credit history to find you a smarter rate. One of my really good friends did exactly this, and it helped him out so much. Just consolidating all of his debt into one place allowed him to focus and just take care of it, and now he's debt free thanks to Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today, and when you go to upstart.com/kindoffunny, that's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. upstart.com/kindoffunny. There's so much going on right now, whether it's stuff you're excited about, like traveling, or stuff you'd rather avoid, like traffic. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can control the vibes in your own head when you've got a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. With Raycon's new everyday earbuds, they look, feel, and sound better than ever. One of my best friends, James Burke, he loves these things. He's always out there when he's running, when he's playing his baseball. He's a baseball coach, so he does a lot of those two things. And Raycon's new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. They've got an improved rubber oil look and feel and optimized gel tips for a perfect in-ear fit. Plus, you get 3 new sound profiles, so the sound is great no matter what you're listening to, whether it's a podcast like this one, or some hip-hop, or some rock, or anything in between. Right now, Kinda Funny listeners, you can get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/kindoffunny. That's buyraycon.com/kindoffunny to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/kindoffunny.
Number 2 on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stay in that PlayStation destination. We got a new Horizon Forbidden West trailer, and I thought for a change of pace, we could just watch it together. I haven't watched it, Tim. I don't know what's happening.
Great. Yeah,
So Kevin's playing it while this is the Tribes trailer. It says, "Rise above our." Go ahead and play it, Kev. "Rise above our ruin. The inhabitants of the world of Horizon are divided into tribes, each which has its own history and traditions. As Aloy travels the Forbidden West, you will encounter even more compelling characters. In this special short, learn more about the rich and authentic tribal cultures Aloy finds in Horizon Forbidden West."
At the eastern edge of the Sundom, the Oseram stake their claims on the frontier. Tinkers, builders, revelers. Meanwhile, the Karja guard their border, afraid of what lies beyond. In the Forbidden West, in Plainsong, a red blight consumes the fields, threatening to destroy the cycle of life and rebirth. The Utaru sing to heal the land, but no hymn will save them. And further west, the Tanakhth. Three clans.
This isn't what I expected.
Each as different as the lands they dominate.
I thought it was going to be a little bit more like... Here's what the VR side is. Bloodshed,
they now cling
this isn't the VR game.
To a fragile piece. Faced with a new enemy. Regala and her rebels. Yet as deadly as they are, there are rumors of an even stronger tribe.
San Francisco
Strangers
tribe kind of
pass the shore. Searching for secrets
about gang.
On the very edge of the West.
Rise of the Horizon. Horizon available February 18th, 2023.
Also, I didn't realize the new trailer came out for Forbidden West. I thought it was the trailer for the VR.
No, you're thinking of Call of the Mountain. You're thinking Horizon Call of the Mountain from CES. No,
that looks awesome, and it's coming so soon. Oh, dude. Crazy. I can't believe we're going to be playing that next month. Like, that's nuts.
The watching that is, and this isn't, obviously, you tell me Horizon's coming. A new Horizon's coming out. I'm excited. You tell me Ashley's back. You tell me Gorilla's working out. I'm excited. That's the first time where I was like palpably like, oh, we're so close. Like, oh, I can't wait to play this. Oh, I can't wait to meet these people. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
I
think yeah.
Now that we're actually there, we're on the doorstep of it. And of course, not this week's PS I Love You, but next week's PS, no, I'm sorry. Not Monday's PS I Love You, but a week from Monday's PS I Love You, we are doing the Horizon Book Club. So if you want to play through Horizon, the first one, Zero Dawn, to get ready for it, go for it. I know I need to get a refresher on it, but man, that is so close and I can't wait. That looks great. Obviously a slower trailer, but we've already seen a bunch of the combat. We've already seen so much of that. I appreciate them trying to give you a, hey, here's how the world looks and how they're, we're trying to break up these different communities.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was the gameplay that they showed at the last
state of play.
The last time they showed it, a state of play where she's grappling around, whipping around with all the melee combat and stuff. That's when I was like, damn, I think that this game's like really, really, really going to hit for me in a way that the first game I enjoyed a lot, but I didn't think it was this like spectacular experience. But that's sure. Also the context of Breath of the Wild was right there, and I'm a Nintendo guy, and the Switch was there. Like all of that, my energy was very much there. Whereas this, I'm like, damn, this really looks like Uncharted 2 compared to Uncharted 1 to me.
Yeah. Exciting. We don't have to wait long. Like I said, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, February 8th. For now, let's move on to number three. Tim, you're gonna be excited about this one. You can celebrate the 35th anniversary of Castlevania with NFTs. We're gonna go to gamesindustry.biz where Danielle Pardis writes, Konami has announced a set of NFTs to commemorate the 35th anniversary of the Castlevania series. The company is planning to auction off 14 different pieces of artwork from the franchise via NFT marketplace OpenSea starting January 12th. Kevin, that first link I have up there actually is the site that shows them all if you want to show. Quote, Konami Memorial NFT is a new initiative to share content that has been loved by players all over the world for many years, the firm said in a statement. Quote, as the company's first project in this area and with NFTs and blockchain technology in its infancy, Konami will continue to explore the new developments and listen to player feedback following this initial collection, end quote. Tim, how many of these NFTs can I put you down for?
I don't even understand, like, what... what our life is about to be the next year, Greg. Are we just going to have to do this NFT conversation every day? Like, no,
we'll do the normal thing where now it peters out and everybody knows what it is and then it's just done.
Yeah, it just sucks. It just sucks that here, hey, Konami, what are you doing? Pachinko machines? Like, we have to go even lesser than that at this point to get a conversation going on this show? I don't know, man. This sucks. Like, just give me a good Castlevania game. Come on, you know? It's just like, especially, you know, just to try to turn this conversation into a slightly interesting one that's not just the same ass shit we've been saying over and over and over. Like, Konami, man, where y'all at? Like, there is so much potential. You have so many IP, so many great games that could potentially be made. And there's been some good decisions recently. Getting the Castlevania Advance Collection, that's awesome. I didn't ever really think we were going to get those games in a package delivered to us to be able to play it on modern consoles. That's all great. But keep up that energy. Let's keep going with... Get the ports of old games. Where's Metal Gear Solid 4? Let us play it on a modern console that's not through the PS Now. Come on, guys. Like, there's just so many easy wins. On top of that, what about remakes? Where is Metal Gear Solid Remake? On top of that, what about new titles? Where is a new 2D Castlevania? Like, there's so many options. You know, and we're only talking about Castlevania and Metal Gear here. Like, what about Silent Hill? What about whatever PT potentially could be? Like, all that stuff. I don't know.
All I heard is that I'm going to bid on Castlevania Boomerang versus Death. Because there's a little clip here. He throws the boomerang. And I could own that. I mean, I'm watching it right now, but I don't own it, you know? It's not the same.
It was not.
Number four on the Roper Report. Activision has finally responded to the Raven software strike. We're going to go to games or stay at gamesindustry.biz, where Marie DeLisandre writes, in a statement sent to gamesindustry.biz, an Activision spokesperson said that Raven Software's management has been speaking to employees. Quote, Activision is deeply committed to the well-being of all our teams, including our QA workforce, the statement read. Raven leadership has engaged in dialogue with its staff to hear concerns and explain the company's overall investment in development resources. As previously announced, we are growing our overall investment in development and operations resources and converting nearly 500 temporary workers into full-time employees across our studios, the largest conversion in Activision history. For the 12 temporary workers at Raven whose agreements were not extended, we provided an extended notice period, including payment for the two-week holiday break, and we'll be working directly with those that need relocation assistance. Raven is full of people dedicated to improving the culture at Activision, and we look forward to partnering with employees to do that work. If you had missed stories we had talked about before, of course, I'm going to go to the original part. As the Raven Software employee strike enters its third week, staff claim Activision Blizzard's leadership has not been in touch regarding their demands. So this has been an ongoing situation that Activision has finally responded to and apparently is talking to leadership over there. But we will keep you abreast of the situation. Again, it's a dead horse to beat, but treat your workers fairly and don't fuck people over. That's pretty much all it's come down to, right, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, this isn't the answer, but positive steps forward. Like, things are happening. The more these things are being discussed, and especially with Activision, which is, you don't get much bigger if you even possibly can. And with all of the spotlight on them and all these issues being like ironed out and addressed at the very least, I think it's just going to make a stronger, more vibrant industry, more diverse industry, more supported industry in the coming years. And yeah, we got to get through this rough patch together, and hopefully that's sooner than later, and hopefully it results in, again, I keep saying this, like, from the AAA, quadruple A space all the way down to 1-2 person teams. Like, even one person needs to be able to take care of themselves and make sure that they're, you know, like, listening to all this stuff and understanding, like, that there's you got to take care of people.
100%. And again, I think it also is empowerment to what you're talking about, right? Where if you can see the Raven Software strike actually get changed from Activision, actually get them to notice it, then yeah, that can extrapolate out to all sorts of studios, right? And whether it leads to unionization or whether it just leads to them talking together about how they can support each other as workers and then make management support them, that's a good thing. Number five on the Roper Report and final for your Thursday. It's rumor has it, ladies and gentlemen. I got two things that are just rumors. Normally, I want to put them into Kind of Funny Games Daily. But when there's two of them, you might as well put them. And yeah, why not? We talk about it. And then if it actually happens, you go, oh, I heard about that as a rumor. And if it never happens, you forget about it. Everything's fine. We'll start with Nibel, who actually reports on a young man named Jeffy Grub. Jeff Grub, of course, works at Giant Bomb. He used to work somewhere else. He still does. I think Dean Takahashi's his boss. It's all very confusing. But Jeff Grubb has a Giant Bomb show, and on it, he said something to the effect that Nibel is now saying. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order 2 likely to be revealed before this year's E3, possibly around May. The quote Nibel gives Jeff is, Expect to hear about the game in a significant way before E3, end quote. Tim, do you believe it?
Star Wars Celebration Anaheim is moving to May 26th, Kevin's birthday.
Kevin, happy birthday.
God damn it. That worked out really well. You know what time it was.
You fucking fuck. May 26th, 2022 will be Star Wars Celebration. That would be just weeks before E3. We do have a date for E3 2022, but I don't know what it is. It looks to be.
Love it. Stretch it. Do it.
I don't know. This is not as easy to find as I thought it was going to be. But
according to GameSpot, E3 has not, or ESA has not revealed the E3 2022 date.
Interesting. Well, whatever. You got to imagine between 1 and 2 weeks earlier, I imagine that is where we will see, if this event happens, that is where we will see Jedi Fallen Order 2, if Jeff Grubb is to be believed. And I choose to believe Jeff Grubb.
Yeah. It makes sense, right? 2019 for Jedi Fallen Order. Obviously, we've all been waiting with bated breath for another one. That game was so fucking good. They put out the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X versions of it, stuff. They did a bunch of updates to it. It's been a success. They've talked about that. Clearly, there will be another one. And I think, yeah, it would make sense to get out there, tease it now, if not, you know, have more to it.
I mean, I love it. I can't wait. I need this game in my life. This is one of those games where we keep talking about, like early at the top of the show, like these big prestige titles. I feel like there aren't too many the third party titles that almost act as if they're first party Sony titles, and Jedi Fallen Order is one of them. And I feel the first game was so great that, like, imagining what the second one can bring, especially with what next gen can bring, I feel like that could be super damn awesome. I'm excited to hear anything about it. I just want to know, what era is it in? What story is this? Like, what timeline is this even going to be fitting in? Like, where are we going to see Cal at? Like, a lot of great questions. I'm excited to hear more. I hope that we actually see it in May, and I hope that it actually comes out next year. I feel like that'd be a fantastic thing to look forward to. And obviously with COVID and everything's all messed up, and who the hell knows, but you gotta imagine that is the plan, if this is true, right?
Maybe they go nuts though. It's, you know, they tease it in May, show it at EA Play in June, and then release it in the fall. Come on, give it to me, please.
Why not? I mean, yeah that sounds, I mean, that's, I imagine, the plan, right?
We said next year though. This year is this year.
This year is 2022.
It's already 2022,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah. You're here. Yeah. No, I was right there with you. What I meant was May EA Play a little bit more than the game released this year, 2022. Wow.
Welcome to the future. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see more, see what Cal's up to. Fight Ogdo Bogdo again when he's a giant fucking frog when I have to. If that wasn't enough rumor mill and rumor mongering for you, we're gonna go to Tom Henderson. If you're not familiar with Tom, he's a freelance writer at VGC, IGN, and Real Gaming Intel. He reported last night on Twitter, heard from multiple people now that The Last of Us Remake is nearly finished and could release during the latter half of 2022. Well, with TLU 2 multiplayer and TLU 2 director's cut, I've heard they are coming too, but I don't know exactly when/how. Them all releasing together could be a good compromise if God of War gets delayed to Q1 2023. Now he's in here stealing Greg Miller quotes. But that's just speculation on my end for the moment. But I think the overall goal here is to drum up hype for the HBO show, which I've been saying forever. So we'll see if that happens. And to be honest, Q3, Q4 2022 for Sony looks a bit lackluster at the moment. So we'll see what happens. Exciting times ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting. Q3, Q4 looking a little lackluster. I mean, Sony's Q3, Q4 usually is, right? Yeah. I guess Q3 is debatable of like what are they talking, fiscal Q3, are they talking just normal Q3? All that stuff gets weird. But we know they got Horizon coming very, very soon, right? Yep. And then God of War is the big question mark of, will it hit this year? Will it make it into next? We'll have to see. I wouldn't be surprised about this. You know, there's enough people talking about the TLU remake and all that it probably is real. I still struggle to understand what it's going to be, though. Like, Last of Us Remake is just such a weird thing because the game is not that old. The remaster is even less that old and looks fantastic, runs fantastic. Look, like, are they going to change the gameplay elements people don't love that much? Because I would think so.
They're going in and making it look and play like Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
And then you figure then the levels themselves need to be greatly expanded, right? And when I went back and played Last of Us before Last of Us Part 2, still a great time, still a great game, but man, it shows its age, and especially in its environments and the way that you get funneled around. Like, I think going in there and knocking down those walls and making it feel expansive like Last of Us Part 2 did would go far to make that game feel not like a different experience, but probably make it feel like you remember it, like how you think you remember it feeling. Because I did not remember Last of Us feeling and looking like Last of Us felt like when I went back and played.
I just struggle to imagine what that looks like in reality. Like, sure, of them just breaking down the walls. Like, cool, then what are you actually doing? What gameplay are you adding there? And like, yeah, just taking the kind of mechanics of Last of Us 2 and putting them into one, that all makes sense. But it's not like it's going to be as drastic a change as RE2 remake versus the original
RE2. Sure.
And it's like, that's why I'm kind of like caught in the middle where I'm very excited to see this. I am ready to replay Last of Us again, even though I did replay it leading into 2 as well. Like, I'm excited for the show. I think all of this makes sense marketing wise. The Last of Us 2 multiplayer that they're talking about here, like factions being a part of this, that's the big question mark for me is what's Naughty Dog working on? You know, Neil Druckmann during the break coming out, like tweeting, kind of just celebrating. But, you know, from that, we can kind of take a couple words he said. It's like, oh, they're working on various projects. There's things happening. Like, it's interesting to think about, like, the Tilu remake is, according to Schreier, not Naughty Dog, right?
Yeah.
So then here with the Tilu 2 director's cut, that would be Naughty Dog. And then the multiplayer.
Wait, I got lost in the weeds there. I'm sorry. Remember, it was supposed to be that the Last of Us remake was happening from San Diego, not Sony San Diego, another PlayStation studio in San Diego that guy left. Then it got passed back to Naughty Dog. So Naughty Dog's supposed to be finishing or whatever the remake.
Got it. Okay. So then all this stuff would just be Naughty Dog projects.
Yeah.
All three of these things. Director's cut,
we don't
here.
Know, but yeah, you would assume it's that. Yeah. I still think it makes sense that all three of these are one thing and it happens this year to get you excited for The Last of Us show. Or it gets announced this year to get you hyped for a year of Last of Us. The show happens, and when the show ends next spring, which I assume, I don't know, I'm talking my ass on when the show is going. I don't know. Do we have dates for Last of Us on HBO?
We don't. It's still 2022, but HBO put out, it's like 2022 sizzle reel, and it showed footage and like at least logos and stuff.
Right, and
Last of Us was not on it, so
okay. Anyways, I can see it that when the show starts and then it ends, that's when it ends, you drop all this, you know what I mean? Or when it's in the build-up to the end of the show, something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm excited, and I do think it's going to be one project, but it being one project makes me think that the remake element of Last of Us 1 is not going to be that extensive.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. And again, these are all rumors at the rumor mill. Take them with a grain of salt. And if they don't come true, send all your hate mail to Jeffy Grubgrub. Tim, I can't wait to see the hate mail Jeff Grubb gets. But that email is so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grub shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Demon Gaze Extra on PlayStation 4 and Switch. Team Fight Manager Switch. Justice Chronicles on Switch. Epic Dumpster Bear 2. He Who Bears Wins on Switch. Theater of Sorrows on Switch. Wins. I know. Marshmallows on Switch. Heaven Dust 2 on Switch and Steam. GTA Online players can now add a brand new car to their collection. The enviable Pfizer Comet S2 Cabrero available to purchase. Legendary Motorsport. Also in Red Dead, it's a new year with a month's worth of bonuses and more across the frontier, including free provisions to bolster a fresh start for all players. And then Electrician Simulator First Shock, the free-to-play prologue for the upcoming Electrician Simulator game. Game is on Steam today. New dates for you. This one popped right as I think Games Daily ended yesterday. Nobody Saves the World is launching January 18th on Steam, Xbox Game Pass, on the Series XS, X1, and PC. That, of course, is from Drinkbox, friends of the show, Guacamelee, Severed, you know them. I did a preview for Nobody Saves the World a long time ago now. You can catch it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Very excited for that one. So looking
so
forward
cool,
to that
man. One. Shout out to Xbox Game Pass.
Once again, you know, I said this was the best week or the best drop for Xbox Game Pass, and it continues to be proven right to the point that even Blessing apologized on Twitter, which you don't see because he never admits he's wrong, and I appreciate that. It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, and that's Blessing, who, as he confirmed his height on Twitter recently too. He's a small man, but he's a big man in terms of, you know, his ethics and his character, I guess.
I mean, yes. I feel like globally he's average, globally speaking.
Well, fine. He's an average man.
Thank you.
An average man.
I just want to strike this stigma of 5'7 being small. You know, I mean, it's kind of, globally speaking, it's bullshit.
It's right there. It's right there on the cusp or whatever, or where it needs to be.
It's the average.
See, really what happened is, I blame all of you for this, is that I've never done the whole, like, the bag on short people thing. I don't feel like I'm a tall person, you know what I mean? And we've obviously known it's a big hang-up for Nick.
As far as tallies go, you're not that bad, you know?
And that's the thing is, hear me out, Kev, because we always knew it was a big hang-up for Nick. And so, like, I never really made jokes about it or anything. Then you guys let Carboni in. And Carboni turned it into a bit. Carboni turned it into this big thing. And I was like, you know what? I want to be part of the party. And I joined in and started, like, you know, giving Carboni a lot of shit, to which he did DM me. He's like, I appreciate that I know all these insults have been building up in you for 7 years and they were meant for Nick. And I'm like, you totally get it. He's like, just give it to me. But then Blessing did this thing on Twitter and now he opened up the gate. And now I'm doing it here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be this funny. I don't want to be the Richard Pryor of the company, but here I am, just zinging. I guess, you know what? Let me take that back. I don't want to be the Don Rickles of the company, but here I am, just throwing the zingers out there. You know what I mean? I'm like Batman with batarangs. You guys are getting hit, and I can't stop it, and I wish I could. But why does the scorpion sting the frog, Kevin?
Because it's a scorpion.
It's his nature, yeah. It's a fine or whatever.
I mean, that was cool. You didn't have to. You could have just been like, yep, it's a scorpion.
But I mean, I really thought.
Or been like, yep, it's his nature.
This is one of those things where we were on the trapeze, like the Flying Graysons, and I reached out there.
I caught you by your foot. You weren't being expected caught by your foot, but I caught you. You know what I mean?
All right. You kept me alive, Kevin. You did. Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, listening on podcast services around the globe. We did very well today, I'll have you know. An anabiologist comes in with some more Days Gone info that's current. I had been talking about when the prices got dropped. Here he goes. Anabiologist says Days Gone is at a set price on PlayStation Now of $40. It was originally launched at $60. It is also on sale on PC at $50. Just adding that it is selling at a lower point and even froze at the lower price. Thank you, Nano. Tim Buddy says, you're not wrong. But for January, Jedi Fallen Order is free with Prime Gaming. There you go. That's good.
Sick.
And then Nanobiologist says, Greg, you didn't disclose that Jen is running PR for Nobody Saves the World. You normally do this, just keeping the FTC off of y'all. Technically, Jen is not. Her company, Pop Agenda, is. But yes, you're right. Nobody Saves the World is a Pop Agenda represented game. I am married to Jen. But what I'd like to put on the record very clearly, all right, is that I have been on Drinkbox. I've been in a committed Drinkbox relationship since they were the first people at a PAX to show me, I shouldn't say that. They showed me something off the record. I'm not sure if they ever told that story or anything that they really shouldn't have showed me or whatever. And so, like, I've been friends with Drinkbox a long time, way longer than Papa Jen's even been a fucking around. All right. Jen didn't even know what the fuck Drinkbox was. All right. She's over there worried about making Young Thor or whatever the hell Fremo's working on. Don't worry about it, everybody. But good point, Nana. Yes, I did say that I like the game. And when I say it like the game, I should have
posted. What are you saying?
You have to be the way you are, you know?
I'm sorry, Kevin. I'll rewind it. I didn't ask to be the Don Rickles of the company, but somebody had to. So I'm out here throwing batarangs and comedy and video game news and fun stuff.
Who's,
you know?
Don Rickles? Who's the, yeah.
What?
Come on.
Tim, do you know Don Rickles?
Is Don Rickles the guy at the end of the Jackass movies that shoots out the confetti?
Oh, I love that guy. I think you might be right. Is that? No, you're wrong.
I think that's Rip it.
Van, no, he's a guy I'm not super familiar with, but he's ripped somebody or other. Don Rickles, the insult comedian.
Insult comedian. I don't.
All right, so here's where we'll go. Yeah, that's Don Rickles. Don Rickles is hilarious. If you don't know Don Rickles, obviously he's very old. Is he dead? I don't know if he's dead. Google any Don Rickles thing you want, right? And he also, I think, Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies you guys love.
Oh.
No, that can't
However,
be right.
That's Google awesome. Any Don Rickles thing you want. You'll find a hilarious one.
Yeah.
But Don Rickles comes from that, you know, Frank Sinatra era, right? And all that jazz, right? Those kind of, that celebrity.
Oh,
Dean Martin. No, that's good. Here's my favorite Don Rickles story, though, right? Don Rickles, of course, this comedian, he's running around the Vegas scene with everybody else or whatever. And so, and it's a Don Rickles story, so I'm sure it didn't happen, or maybe it did, but it doesn't matter. I like to believe it happened. But he was out on a date, right? And so he ran into Frank Sinatra at the restaurant they were at or whatever. And so Frank Sinatra, obviously, like, the biggest fucking thing at the time, right? Like, who's a big star right now that you loved him? Ellie Gouley, yes. Imagine Ellie Gouley of her time. You know what I mean? That's Frank Sinatra. He's fucking huge or whatever. And so he runs into him, and they're you know, it's Frank fucking Sinatra. It's like, you know, the king of pop at the time. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, Frank, I'm sorry to do this, but can you like do me a favor? Like, he's an up and coming comic. He's not a big deal yet. Frank Sinatra is Frank Sinatra. Can you do me a favor? And like, they know each other a little bit. Can you do me a favor and come over to the table and just say hi? Just say hi to me so that the date I'm with will be impressed that you're there and like that you know me. And Frank's like, sure, I'll do you the favor, kid, or whatever. He's like, all right, cool. So Don Rickles goes and sits down, and he's talking to the girl. And Frank Sinatra comes over, and he's like, hi, Don. And Don turns and goes, Frank, can't you see I'm talking to somebody? Get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can write in to be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You, of course, can be a Patreon producer. You can get the show ad-free on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And you can come watch Tim and I do the Kind of Funny Games Daily post show right after this on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you have no bucks toss our way, it's no big deal. Yeah.
Just so you know what happened there. Like, I was like confused. I was like, who is the guy in Jackass? So I like Googled it. I was looking up, and it's Rip Taylor. Yeah. And then I was thinking, I was like, okay, but they're kind of similar. And that all happened within like, I don't know, less than 10 seconds. And then I go back to listen to you, and I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And you're talking about Frank Sinatra. You bring up Ellie Goulding somehow. And I was like trying to like get back to like, what could he possibly talk about? And I'm like, I'm going to look at the chat. Maybe they'll let me know. And the first thing I see is Justin 3-4-M. What the fuck is he talking about? And I'm like, fuck, I'm lost.
I'm back, baby. You can watch everything for free. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. RoosterTeeth.com. Listen on podcast services around the globe. If you're watching live right now on Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, consider giving us that Twitch Prime subscription. Hang out and get what up next. It's Fortnite. Mike is playing Fortnite with the kids. Yeah. Joey, Kevin, they're going to get it there. They're getting Black Spider-Man today. They're getting that Black Spider-Man suit, aren't you?
No, not at all. We're not even close to that.
Oh, that sucks.
I don't want a lot of the kids.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been our pleasure to
I'm not above it, though. I'm not above it.